If you'd like to turn to your Bibles, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'll be starting to read from verse 10. And for those that need a reminder, 2 Timothy 3, starting at verse 10. Okay, this is Paul in his second letter to Timothy, and he starts by saying, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." I want to split this morning into a traditional 3 points. Persecution, people, and then preparation. But first I want to explain to you who Timothy was. Timothy was born of a Greek man and a Jewish woman. So he weren't Jewish, he was half Jewish. But as we read in the passage that I've just read to you, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, his mother taught him from a very early age the Old Testament. So he knew it, and he knew it very well. He was a young man, and Paul saw something in him that he liked, that he knew that Timothy would be a good servant of God. Timothy went on 2 of Paul's journeys, and Paul even used him to send him as an envoy. He sent him to Corinth to deal with a problem in Corinth. Unfortunately, Timothy couldn't deal with it. But that didn't put Paul off, and it didn't put Timothy off. So, 2 letters were written to Timothy, and we can read about them in the New Testament. And there were instructions for Timothy, because Timothy had been left in charge of the Ephesus church. So he's saying to him, and these are the points from the 2 letters. Paul had said to him, "Teach sound doctrine and model right living." So not only is he telling Timothy these are things that we should be doing as well. "Public worship, have a proper attitude when in public with prayer and worship." "Church leadership, there's a criteria in Timothy's letters for leadership in the church, deacons and elders." "Personal discipline, it takes discipline to be a leader." "Caring church, church is to care for one another." These are the things from the first letter to Timothy. Second letter, boldness. "Preach and teach with boldness." Now, I haven't mentioned that Timothy was quite a timid man, weren't particularly a bold man, but he was when it came to the teaching of Christ. "Faithfulness to sound doctrine, loyalty, diligence, and endurance." "Preaching and teaching" again is mentioned, but in the ability to train others. And then lastly, "Guard against deception and false teaching." So, first point, persecution. So in the chapter that we've just read, in the first three verses, persecution's mentioned three times. And the last one, he says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So everybody in this room who has a heart for Jesus, persecution is going to come your way at some point and in some sort of form. I can't tell you what it'll be, but you'll know it's coming. And it comes constantly. We do get the respites, but it does come. So if we look at Paul speaking from experience. I've quite a few scriptures. If you want to make notes of them, I'm going to read them out anyway. But if you want to make notes, you can read them yourself later. In Acts 5:41, not particularly about Paul, but it's about persecution. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name being Jesus Christ. The apostles rejoiced at being persecuted. So why? Why were they rejoicing at being persecuted? We read two very similar scriptures in Matthew 5 and Luke 6. Matthew 5, verse 10 to 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. My daily reading at the minute has been Jeremiah. Jeremiah spoke the word of God and was constantly persecuted for saying what God wanted him to say, and he was obedient to it. So he is one of many prophets who was persecuted for speaking what God wanted them to speak. Luke 6, very similar, verses 22 to 23. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how your ancestors treated the prophets. Both scriptures there tell us about rewards. Again, there's rewards in heaven. Those who love Jesus and who have set their heart on Jesus have that eternity to spend with God, not be separated from him. But there are other rewards as well. So that when we're persecuted and we turn our back on that persecution and rejoice in the Lord, there are other rewards. 1 Peter 4, verses 14 to 17. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household, and if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? So there's a little bit of a warning there as well. We're going to be the ones judged first. And if we're not rejoicing at the persecution, that we are just being, I don't know, selfish, not doing what God wants us to do, we're going to be judged. And those who reject God completely, what's their outcome? So, persecution, it's coming for us all, but we have to rejoice in it. God will bless us, and there are rewards in heaven for it. So the next sort of part of the scripture that I read out at the beginning is verse 13. While evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. So my title for this little bit is people. A lot of us, we listen to other people's teaching. Not everybody's teaching, you will agree with their theology. There are a lot of people out there that you can learn really good stuff off, but some of their teaching can be a little bit different to ours. And a lot of that quite often is down to our perspective on life. I know Ruth's been abroad, Eastern European countries, their perspective on life is different to ours. Pastor Johnny's been to Africa, their way of doing things is different to ours. So there will be perspectives in their teaching that's slightly different to what we have. And we don't need to get hung up on those different perspectives. As long as we know that Jesus is Lord and we know that the gospel is truth, then we should be okay. I've been down at Bible College doing a training course, and the last subject I did was Pentecostal theology. Now, we all know George Jeffreys, or the name George Jeffreys, one of the founder members of Elim Church. Did you know that George Jeffreys resigned from Elim twice? He resigned in 1939. I think it was mainly to do with the governance of the church. But he'd also met up with some other Pentecostal guys that had some, would I say, dodgy theology? Theology that didn't quite match. Elim as a movement didn't particularly want to lose him. So lots of discussions went on, and he came back to Elim. And then again, differences in governance, but also George Jeffreys had, being a bonnet, it's not quite the right words, but he was going down the lines of British Israelism. And Elim didn't want that as part of their teaching. And because of the differences in the governance and the way that George Jeffreys was going, he resigned again for the final time. And he set up a new denomination. If I remember right, Kensington Temple was part of that. And he stayed in that denomination till he died. When he died, that denomination petered out. A lot of the churches came back to Elim or to Assemblies of God. But there we have a brilliant man of God who part of his thinking was slightly a little bit off the wall. So we have to be careful with what we're listening to, so that we're not deceived and taken down a track that is not focused on Jesus. The biggest thing about followers of Jesus is we are Jesus-centered, and everything is centered on Jesus. If that central thinking goes away from Jesus, then the church will go down a slippery road that will lead to nowhere, and we won't be effective. So that's my bit on people. So preparation. So how do we prepare for the persecution, and how do we prepare so that we are not deceived? So if we go back to the original scripture from verse 14 to 17, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may thoroughly be equipped for every good work. So Paul is saying here that all Scripture is God-breathed. Now, at this point, there was no New Testament. Paul is writing parts of the New Testament. So that scripture is only confirming that the Old Testament is God-breathed. It's not confirming that the New Testament is. But if we read 2 Peter, verse 15 to 17. So this is Peter. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Peter here is acknowledging that the writings that he has read and the letters that he has read that Paul has written are scripture. So for me, this is my confirmation. Old Testament is scripture, New Testament is scripture. It's God-breathed. So our biggest weapon against the enemy is here. This is it. Also, quite often we'll say that the Old Testament is not particularly relevant. In this piece here, Paul's saying completely the opposite. Because he knew the teachings that Timothy had, Timothy knew the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there is pointer and pointer and pointer pointing towards Jesus. So Timothy knew that Jesus was the Messiah because of Old Testament teaching and because of the teaching of Paul. So for us, it's the same. We can still get things out of the Old Testament. The Old Testament isn't just a load of history stories that we can read and a load of lists that we can read. I know the lists are boring. But when you take into context of who it was written to, those lists were very important to the Jewish nation at that time. I know we don't see that importance as much, but their family history was so important to them. Not discounting it, but the Old Testament is just as good for us as the New Testament. The New Testament is our new covenant. We don't have to live under the laws of the Old Testament, although we should abide by the laws of the Old Testament. If I go and read Romans 6, verse 1 and 2, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? So, we are told that yes, we're living under grace, but it's not an excuse to carry on living the life of sin. We're here as ambassadors of Jesus. I've already mentioned from the history of Timothy that part of the teachings was how we are in public and in secret. We are an example to everyone out there of who Jesus is. And if we live just as everybody else in the world lives, we're not setting that example. And people will not grasp who Jesus is. If we are in the Word, we are in the Word. It will prepare us for the persecutions that will come. It won't stop the persecutions coming, but it will better prepare us. And I know Pastor Johnny's spoken on this many times about preparing ourselves. For those of you that have gone to Pastor Johnny with a problem, what's his first answer? What does the Bible say? Every answer that Pastor will give you for a problem that you've got, he will ask you what the Bible says. And if you don't know, he'll tell you. And it is, it's the answer to every problem that we've got. Jesus has shown us how to live. And Paul took that mantle on, and you can read throughout the New Testament, Paul wrote a lot of the New Testament, and his teaching just emphasizes what Jesus has already said. So I hope this morning that you've got something out of it. I hope you don't go away scared that persecutions are coming. Because we have the answer. You know, the word is our answer, and it's there to help and to bless each of us. Amen.